You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
This month marks the silver anniversary of the Golden Boot Trophy. 25 years ago, in November of 1996, is when David Basil created the Golden Boot, and since then it's been a very entertaining rivalry. Most years have been kind of unpredictable. You might have thought you knew what was going to happen going into a game, and something else happened, and it kind of feels like it's going to be that way against Saturday night in Death Valley. Arkansas is favored to win the game, but LSU's coming off that great performance last week against Alabama, kept that game a lot closer than a lot of people thought they would. The Razorbacks, of course, come in on a two-game winning streak, and they seem like they're playing better than they did during some of those October losses. Matt Jones with Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. Clay, the LSU series, you never know what you're going to get, especially when you go into Death Valley, but you always know that you're going to get a pretty good atmosphere, and that's probably what we're expecting Saturday night.
Yeah, it's the Forrest Gump series. It's there might be chocolates, but it may be a different flavor than you think as you pull them out one by one. This is the time of the year that injuries and just affect all these matchups. And, LSU's had a lot of injuries, and they've got more this week, some more guys that aren't going to play. And Arkansas, by and large, is they're fairly healthy, which is unique for November. And I think that's why you see them favored. And night games in Tiger Stadium are an adventure, to say the least. And I've got stories on what I've seen there that kind of boggle your mind a little bit. But I guess after you've seen it a couple of times, you know that's what's going to happen.
I was able to go down to Baton Rouge with my dad in 2015 when Arkansas won down there. It's pretty fun that, Arkansas they went down and completely took the night crowd out of the game. And I remember Dominic Reed's long touchdown run, and then Alex Collins, I think, had another long run that maybe he scored, maybe he got down close to the goal line. That was just a pretty fun atmosphere. But I remember when kickoff happened, it was pretty rowdy. It's pretty fun, and it's going to be interesting to see how KJ Jefferson handles that, how Arkansas's offensive line is going to handle that. So I think one of the ways that you can really give yourself a chance on the road in an environment like that is to play clean and, limit some of the, pre-snap penalties that Arkansas has been battling, in recent weeks.
If you haven't been to Death Valley, I mean, when you're there at a night game, it just kind of makes the hair on your neck stand up, the noise that they can create in that stadium. But like Scotty said, in 2015, they never got a chance to be in the game. Arkansas kind of hit them early and took the crowd out of it. Even some of those Black Friday games, I think about, the ones that would kick off at 1:30. Well, it'd get dark about 5 o'clock. I can think about the 07 triple overtime game there. It got dark right at the start of overtime, and you really heard the noise level go up. There's just something about playing a night game there that seems to really energize that crowd. Don't know what it's going to be like this week. I would assume there are going to be some empty seats up near the top of the stadium. You've got an LSU team that's 4-5. Arkansas is ranked in the top 25, but I can't imagine they're that big of a draw. And of course, you've got the lame duck head coach. It's a weird situation right now at LSU, but even a somewhat empty Tiger Stadium is still going to be an intimidating place to play, I think, on Saturday night. Mentioned that the Razorbacks are the favorite. And Clay, I think it really has to do with the way that Arkansas has been moving the ball and LSU struggles offensively outside of their game against Florida when they had Davis Price go for close to 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. They've really been kind of an anemic offense. They haven't moved the ball very well this year.
Yeah, that Florida game was the best their offensive line has played. And I think they've got three different starters that played that week that aren't going to play in this game. Both offensive guards have been ruled out, and Ingram has been pretty much a 4 or 5 year starter that's not going to play, that has really tormented Arkansas, really a good player. I'm sure their backups are good, and I know Martinez has started a couple of games, so they're not just out of players, and they're never out of players. The guys they roll off the bench really are talented because they signed so many four stars from South Louisiana, and you know they dip into Houston, and you know they'll get their share out of that area, which is just an hour and a half away. A lot of those schools in South Texas that they recruit so well. But if you really pin me down and say what's the difference between the teams, it's KJ Jefferson, his play at quarterback, the consistent nature of what he's done. Just seemed like he plays a little better every week. And then you look at LSU, and they're going to play two quarterbacks because they've been disappointed with what they've gotten, and they're going to pull the red shirt off of a true freshman, Nussmeier, and see what he can do. And that, to me, that's the difference in the game, and that you you have consistent play. And on third down, you have to have experience, in my way of thinking, and that's where the quarterback play just is so much different between these two teams.
This is the type of game where you expect Treylon Burks to potentially have a big game, or at least if Arkansas is going to have a chance, you feel like he needs to have a big game. And one of the big stories at LSU, as Clay mentioned, this year has been the injuries. I think they're down 10 or 12 starters in this game versus what they had in the first week of the season. And two of the big ones are Eli Ricks and Derek Stingley Jr. Those are both All-America cornerbacks who are out. They've had a couple of players who have stepped in and played pretty well in their absence. But Scotty, this is the game where you feel like Treylon Burks could have a big night in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And it's interesting to think what LSU might do if they had both Stingley and Eli Ricks. Like, there's a possibility that they play both of those guys on the same side of the field to, you know, eliminate Treylon. But now you're searching for answers. And I wrote last week that it seems like the biggest mismatch on the field when Arkansas is on offense is wherever Treylon is lined up. I mean, he's that big of a presence. He's that physical, fast, and just super talented. And you can basically throw up any pass to him and he's going to go get it. I mean, two of the balls that he's brought down this season that have been most impressive were actually catches, or were actually grabs that, you know, didn't count. You know, I remember the catch he made near the goal line against Texas A&M, where it looked like he may have dragged a foot near the end zone inbounds. And I think the officials took a look at that play and ruled he was out of bounds. And then you look at the catch last week that was ruled an incompletion in the back of the end zone. There's actual photo evidence that he got his foot down, and he's pretty incredible, man. And I think LSU has definitely got their work cut out for them, especially in the secondary. He's the key on the scouting report for Arkansas at the receiver spot. And I think Arkansas is going to have a pretty good opportunity to, you know, go after those DBs a little bit. And now I think it's just kind of I don't know, you could say pressure, but I think you want other guys to get involved too, like a Davion Warren and a Warren Thompson. Warren Thompson was a little bit quiet against Mississippi State, and then he didn't have a good game against UAPB. He's another guy that can stretch the field too. So they're going to need, you know, another receiver other than Treylon to, you know, give them some production.
You know, that, who do they put on Treylon? And I'm, you know, going to go through their roster and their cornerbacks, Dwight McLaughlin and Cordell Flott. And Flott's been injured, supposedly back this week, but I suspect it's going to be the nickelbacks. I hope that they get to their backup nickelback. His name is Pig Cage. Now, that just is the perfect name for somebody that Treylon Burks could torch, right? I mean, he's famous for going on his hog hunts. So
yeah, hunting them with, you know, just with a knife in hand.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Pig Cage would be cut up pretty quickly by Treylon. I don't know. I mean, he does play. So at some point in the game, you're going to have Burks against Pig Cage, and I will probably chuckle when that happens.
I guess if Cage wins that, it would be a caged pig. It would be Treylon Burks would be the one in the cage. The big key, I think, this week, Clay, is going to be how Arkansas picks up the blitz from LSU. Sam Pittman talked about they really brought the house against Alabama, showed a lot of different looks that they hadn't seen on film before last week's game against Alabama. Now, they had 2 weeks to prepare for that game. I think they got 4 sacks on Bryce Young. I think they hurried him another 8 or 9 times. It's going to be real imperative for the offensive line to be able to pick up that blitz that I'm sure LSU is going to show again this week.
Yeah, the question is, you know, how is LSU going to line up? They've got a new coordinator that brought an NFL scheme, and they played 4-3 all season. They had 2 weeks to get ready, and you're right, and they changed to a 3-4 and brought blitzes. But the key to that game, it's always the way it is at this time of year, is Alabama had problems with their offensive line. Their center went down with an ankle sprain in the first quarter. They moved a guard to center, moved a tackle to guard. I mean, it's like he was a backup. So they had new guys playing two positions, and they were dominated. And the LSU blitzed Damone Clark, the linebacker, through the A-gap. Neil Farrell and Glenn Logan, who are both they've been there for 5 years. You know, it's like they are studs, and that's not what you want. You know, to be shuffling your offensive line against Glenn Logan and Neil Farrell, and those guys, 325 and 303. I know that Sam Pittman talked this week about that. They're really glad to have Ricky Stromberg at center because he's one of their best players. And this is a week where, you know, that interior part of your offensive line, your guards, are really going to be tested by what LSU can do up front, the games they'll play, how they line up. Are they going to be in an odd or an even front? And I guess they'll find out in the first quarter. You really had to practice against both. You don't know if they're going to flip back to the, you know, a 4-man even front, or they're going to play the odd with the 3-4.
LSU held Alabama last week to 6 yards rushing on 26 carries. So it's going to be really interesting to watch this week how Arkansas can run against that defensive front from LSU. Arkansas comes into the game, I think they're ranked 4th nationally in rushing yards. And I think the 3 teams that are in front of them are 2 service academies that run the triple option and Syracuse. They're the number 1 rushing offense in the SEC. One thing that we've seen be so pivotal in Arkansas's games this year, or at least in some games, have been the penalties. Of course, they were penalized like crazy in that loss against Georgia. A lot of penalty flags thrown again last week against Mississippi State. Pittman said earlier this week, he said, you're going to get some holding penalties during games. You're going to get some pass interference penalties. That's just all part of the flow of football. The ones that he said really bother him are the procedure penalties. I think there were 4 false starts last week, or maybe 3 false starts and an illegal snap in the Mississippi State game. He said that's on the coaches. That's on coaches to get that corrected. Arkansas, one of the most penalized teams in the SEC. And Clay, the thing that stands out to me is that LSU is the team that has been penalized the least in the SEC. That could be a big key.
Yeah, not only the SEC, but in the nation. And one of the things that they've done, and it's been criticized, but they have played very vanilla on both sides of the ball. And it's partly because they've been changing players so much that they've been trying to keep it simple. Not a lot of motions, not a lot of change in formations pre-snap that Arkansas does, trying to scheme matchups. They hadn't blitzed a lot, so they had played really simple things. And that's one way to limit penalties, is not to have to think a lot pre-snap. But they didn't last week. They kind of rolled out every blitz that you would expect out of the 3-4. They brought, different combinations of linebackers to get to 4 and 5 man blitzes. They got 4 sacks of Bryce Young, and that's partly why the lost yardage plays affected their rushing stats. And in college, sacks come off your rushing totals. The penalties is a big part of this game, and noise will be a factor, especially early on. That's why it's important for Arkansas to have a good start, is to kind of quiet that crowd and get that stadium where you can hear your snap count or understand what's going on in, the communication area. That you might see KJ going player to player if he has to change plays, because they're not going to be able to hear his calls. Tiger Stadium, it is deafening at times, especially if the home guys get off to a good start.
It's been really interesting to me to listen to Sam Pittman a couple of the last few times that we've gotten to talk to him. He's mentioned, you know, whenever he's been asked about penalties, that Cody Kennedy has kept his offensive linemen after practice to work on snap counts and, you know, eliminating some of those penalties, you know, doing some of those offensive line drills, those specific drills, you know, where you work snap count with, you know, crowd noise involved too. So we'll see if those extra work sessions pay off this weekend.
Sam Pittman made a comment on his coach's show the other night. He said that the Mississippi State game was basically why you spend a scholarship on a kicker. Arkansas have made 3 or 4 kicks in that game, and obviously a field goal game that became a big deal. Mississippi State missed all of its kicks. Cam Little's been very good for Arkansas. LSU's also got a really good kicker, though. A second-team All-American last year, Cade York, has made 48 of 58 career field goal attempts, and he's 9 of 10 this season. He had a 56-yarder earlier this year against McNeese, and that wasn't even a career long for him. He kicked a 57-yarder in the fog down at Florida last year during the Shoe game. So he's a really, really good kicker. I'll tell you a couple of other things they've got on special teams. Trey Palmer is a really good threat in both the kickoff and the punt return games. If you remember last year, I think he was the first player to have a kickoff return at Death Valley since like 1980 for a touchdown. It was a crazy stat. I remember when it happened, it was like, holy cow, they haven't had one since when? It's been that long. He's also got a punt return for a touchdown during a game against South Carolina a couple of seasons ago. And then Scotty mentioned Jay Ward. He's the one who blocked the field goal for Arkansas last year that would have tied the game late in the fourth quarter. He also had a field goal block this year. And we know that blocks have been a little bit of an issue for the Razorbacks, not so much on field goals as they've been for punts this year.
Yeah, special teams, I put it also under the label of intangibles. You know, it's kind of interesting, you know, that what's kind of the feeling for Ed Orgeron is he kind of goes out, as much as people wanted a change, they also love him. He's their dude. I mean, he's their guy. He's got that Cajun background. He's from La Rose. He talks like him, he looks like him, and he acts like him. You know, he parties hard. I mean, that's
probably just, eats like him too.
Yeah, he definitely does. And so there's some support for him. Just as when he was the interim coach, there was support. Hey, let's hire him, and they'll treat him right as he goes out. And it's a crazy, interesting, oxymoron type place. I'm talking about, you know, South Louisiana and the LSU fans. And so just because you think, well, they're without a coach or they're going to lose their coach and the fans have given up the rope, it might be interesting for a little while. Now, if you can get ahead, they'll head to their tailgate because they love their tailgate. And so you can get a lead and you can put them on their heels, and you'll see people start to file out of that stadium and they say, yeah, we love you, Ed. See you later. It's just, you started it saying you don't know what you're going to get, and you don't, and for so many reasons.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them online at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Whoopee!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports video on demand app.
Check out The Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Arkansas became bowl eligible last week with their sixth win of the season over Mississippi State. The rest of the year is just about now reinforcing how good of a bowl game they're going to get. The more wins you get, the more quality of a bowl you get to play in. You look at the SEC's bowl tie-ins, and there are some games that you can probably, you can say they're not going to play in that game. The Sugar Bowl, that seems like a stretch right now. Now, if they beat LSU, they somehow beat Alabama, all of a sudden they might be in the conversation for the Sugar Bowl. Right now, it seems like a little bit of a stretch. I would say the same thing goes for the Citrus Bowl. And so really right now, I think it comes down to, as it does for a lot of teams most years, the group of six bowls. Those are the two bowl games in Tennessee. You've got the Music City Bowl, the Liberty Bowl, the Texas Bowl in Houston is one of the group of six bowl games. You've got two bowl games in Florida, the Gator Bowl and the Outback Bowl. And then rotating every year is either the Duke's Mayo Bowl. I almost called it the Mayonnaise Bowl. It used to be the Belk Bowl. It's the one in Charlotte, and the Las Vegas Bowl. This year, it's the Mayonnaise Bowl. I mean, Clay, where do you think they fit right now as far as bowl games? What do you think the best bowl game is out there for the Razorbacks right now?
Yeah, that's interesting. And you think, well, where is the best place that they could travel to? Because that's what you seem to hear from all the bowls. They want to, you know, they didn't have, there was a lot of them that didn't have very good crowds last year because of COVID. You know, I think, you know, it's just like always, you know, Texas Bowl, Liberty Bowl, you know, they didn't get to go to the Texas Bowl last year. I know that that bowl really wanted Arkansas. And thought that they would bring, you know, good crowd support. So I still think those are the ones. And you know, there's other teams. You know, it's the dynamics of what Arkansas is right now is to me highly interesting, in that they celebrated bowl eligibility last week with vigor. I mean, it was obvious that it was a big deal to everybody, and this is a team that I'm not sure has had enough of success to understand how to deal with it, and that you have to stay hungry, that you have to play the same way. You can't be up and down. And I don't think we know what they'll be like. I think that was part of the dynamics of such a poor performance at Georgia, is that they celebrated beating Texas A&M, that they had not won that game in forever. And then once they did, and everybody was talking about, well, what, this is going to be great. They're going to go to a great bowl. And, you know, we're kind of back in that same little compartment this week, and that, are they focused on what they have to do to win the game? Or are they telling themselves, we got us a bowl? You know, going to a bigger bowl is what Grant Morgan was saying needs to be the focus. And I'm not sure the players understand that. You will see.
Just so people understand, the Sugar Bowl, the way that works is that's the SEC champion. And if the SEC champion can't play in that game because they're in the playoff, which typically that's the case, then they take either the team that lost in the championship game or the next highest ranked team. So if there's an instance this year, say Alabama loses to Georgia and Alabama doesn't get into the playoff, Alabama would be the team that goes to the Sugar Bowl. Say they both get into the playoff, it would be the next highest ranked team would get to go to the Sugar Bowl. And as of right now, that's Texas A&M. That's where Arkansas could potentially move up there, but I think it would take a win over Alabama to get into the conversation for the Sugar Bowl. It seems really unlikely. I know there were a lot of people last month thinking that could potentially happen. The Citrus Bowl gets the first pick of the teams outside of the New Year's Six bowl game. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. I do agree with one thing you said, Clay, and it has to do with proximity. I feel like the bowl games, obviously they all lost a lot of money last year because some of them weren't able to be played. The ones that were able to be played, they didn't get to sell tickets like they usually get to. The primary source of revenue for bowl games comes from the TV contracts, but there is still a very significant amount of revenue that comes from ticket sales. And so I tend to agree that you've got a lot of, you know, somewhat close bowl games to Arkansas that probably would be interested in them. But then you also have to think that those same bowl games could potentially be in the mix for Mississippi State and Ole Miss and Auburn and Texas A&M, a lot of other regional type schools. And so it'll be interesting to see how this works out as far as bowl games go this year.
Yeah, one of the areas that Arkansas dearly needs a victory is to continue to gain momentum in that college football playoff poll. You know, they finally got in, but they're just barely in. And, you know, they're not in either one of the other polls. And, you know, all things being equal, you know, that's a deciding factor. There's a lot of SEC teams ahead of them. Now, some of them are going to lose, but that's the mission this week is to stay in those rankings and drive forward. And you know, the only way you do that is to win games.
I honestly don't pay just a ton of attention to bowl projections just because, you know, in week 8 or 9 of the season, like nothing at all is concrete whatsoever. But I did look at one that had Arkansas in the Texas Bowl against Oklahoma State. And so that'd be a pretty fun game. Arkansas would get to, you know, finally go play in the Texas Bowl after, you know, not getting to play in it last year. Oklahoma State's had a pretty good season this year. You know, follow a couple of their beat writers. They've had a pretty interesting year, but those two schools, you know, fairly close in proximity. And, you know, if we know anything, our Arkansas fans are going to drive down to Houston or that game is in Houston, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They would. Yeah. Arkansas fans would go down there in droves. I mean, they'd do that in a heartbeat just to see Arkansas back in a bowl game again.
Yeah. I feel like it would be the same way in Memphis or Nashville as well. If they played in one of those two bowl games. Prediction time now. It's an interesting week in the SEC. Not a lot of marquee games, but there are a couple. We'll start with early morning game. Mississippi State is at Auburn. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff on ESPN, Clay.
Yeah, I like Auburn to bounce back. You know, you say, well, they only scored 3 points last week. Well, you know, Mississippi State would have loved to have 3 points somewhere along the way. I like Bo Nix in this one.
Yeah, I like Auburn too. If anybody is listening to this prediction segment and you've listened to any of my picks in previous weeks, you'd probably be best off to bet the money line and fade all my picks, but I'm going to go with Auburn.
As we know, Auburn's got the better kicker than Mississippi State. Anders Carlson could be a big weapon in that game. 2:30 on CBS, Georgia is at Tennessee. I predicted this a couple of weeks ago. Tennessee's not going to get another night game this year, and that was the case. Clay, what are your thoughts?
I like Georgia again. I'm a broken record. I've been on the Bulldogs because of that defense all season.
Yeah, it's going to take. I don't know who it would take Georgia playing right now for me to pick against Georgia. And Tennessee's not going to be the team that trips them up.
Yeah, you'd ask if they're playing the Dallas Cowboys, is Dak Prescott healthy or not? And then if he was, he would not be healthy after the game.
Afternoon game, South Carolina at Missouri, SEC Network, 3 o'clock kickoff. Of course, South Carolina coming off the big win over Florida last week. Missouri seems to really be reeling.
Yeah, I'll weigh in on this one. I think South Carolina continues their run. I mean, Missouri, I do not think they can stop any running back in. And Florida couldn't stop South Carolina's running game. I don't expect that to change this week. You know, maybe Tyler Beatty goes on a run too. But I would not have said this a month ago, but I think South Carolina.
The only thing I know about this game is that I will not be watching it and probably couldn't pay me to watch it, but I think South Carolina wins.
We'll be watching a basketball game at the same time. A couple of night games, or actually 3 night games in the SEC, including Arkansas, LSU. We'll talk about that one last, of course. One of them is Kentucky at Vanderbilt, 6 o'clock kickoff on ESPN2. I think we'll all pick Kentucky there. Let's move over to the other one. Texas A&M is at Ole Miss. This is probably the game of the week in the SEC. The Aggies come in 11th in the college football poll. The Rebels are 15th. This is a game that has a little bit of interest because A&M, if they win out, they could win the SEC West if Alabama loses a game. ESPN, 6 o'clock kickoff, Clay.
Yeah, these two coaches are playing for the right to coach LSU next year. I'm joking. Because they're like candidates 1, in 1A, right? I think Jimbo's is the top choice, and then Lane Kiffin is their second choice. I got Ole Miss. I think they're a little healthier right now and got a few more weapons. But I tell you what, the Aggies have gained a little steam of late.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the injuries at Ole Miss are concerning to me. Like, I think they went into last week's game against Liberty where I think Lane Kiffin said 9 of his 11 offensive starters were at least banged up in some way. And they came out and hit Liberty in the mouth like you would probably expect, but they were just kind of even after that for the most part. I like Texas A&M in this game. It's just I like Matt Corral too, but I'm going to pick Texas A&M because I think the injuries to some of Matt Corral's receivers, I think that might can make a difference.
Alabama plays New Mexico State this week. They follow with Arkansas and then Auburn. The game against Auburn is at Auburn. Clay, do you think they could lose one of those two games and A&M could get into the SEC championship game?
No, I don't. But it's, I'm anxious to see what happens at Alabama with their center. Do they get that guy back? And it's supposedly he's going to play this week. But you think that, even if he doesn't, he'd be ready to play against Arkansas. I'd love dearly to listen to Nick Saban when he talks about, finds his talking points for these type games. Mexico State, they're one of those passing teams. That's all he said. They're one of those. He didn't say they were a good passing team. You should fear passing teams. They're one of those passing teams. It's just like, I think he's just a beautiful human being.
Mexico State and Independent, they're going to join the Conference USA in 2023. A little bit of a note from earlier this week. Finally, Arkansas and LSU, 6:30 kickoff. The game's going to be on SEC Network at Death Valley in Baton Rouge. Arkansas has lost 5 straight games in this series, and a lot of them have really been mismatches. Last year's game was close, but the 4 games before that, there was a game that was decided by a touchdown, but Arkansas was down by 21 in the fourth quarter. It feels like a lot of these games have really been mismatches. It's the first time, Clay, that I felt good about Arkansas's chances going into this game in quite a while. Last year, it was a close game, but Arkansas was without all those defensive linemen.
Yeah, I think Arkansas is the better team. There are aspects of the matchups where LSU might have some of the better players on the field. But if you've got the better quarterback, and Arkansas does, that's where I lean. And KJ Jefferson is my guy this week. And I think you'll also see Barry Odom maybe come out of his shell a little bit, and especially if Nussmeier is the quarterback. And the old adage is that you blitz the young ones and the inexperienced quarterbacks. And so you might see, some Arkansas fans sitting in their easy chair and raise both fists and jump up when they see a blitz.
Yeah, I like Arkansas in this game too. And it basically comes down to kind of what Clay said. KJ has grown so much since the first game of the season, and he's really been just super, just passing the ball, down the field to Treylon Burks. And Treylon, Matt sent a graphic, I think, from CFB Film Room earlier this week. I think he's got the fourth most receptions of 20-plus yards, I think, since, 2015 or 2016, and everybody else on that list.
The fourth most touchdown receptions. Yards. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that just kind of speaks to the player that Treylon is. I think he's going to have a big day, especially if LSU sends total blitz. KJ is going to, I think Treylon is KJ's hot route anyway, but he can just toss a ball up to Treylon and you feel pretty good about him coming down with it. I also think it's a potentially big weekend for Dominic Johnson too. I think he can really grab a firm hold of that top spot in the running back room with another good week.
I got to correct myself, Scotty. It is the most receptions of 20 yards downfield, not just touchdowns. And the players ahead of him, Devontae Smith, Emmanuel Hall, and Jamar Chase. Not a bad group to be a part of. I go with Arkansas.
Braylon's in a special class.
Yeah, he definitely is. I go with Arkansas this week for the same reason that we talked about on Tuesday. I just don't know what the motivation is for LSU. I get caught up a lot watching these post-game and pre-game videos that the Razorbacks put out on their social channels. And you can really tell the players are locked into what Sam Pittman is talking to them about. And in November, you know, they've talked about the four B's. Last week it was the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. This week it's the Boot. Next week it's Bama. The final week it's the Battle Line rivalry against Missouri. You could tell they're just really locked in to what he's saying. And they may not win, but I think the one thing you know that you're going to get with them is really great effort. And I don't know that you can say that every time about LSU. And it just feels like this is the week where they're able to get off the schneid and beat LSU and win the Boot back. And who knows, maybe at the end of the season, they're sitting in Fayetteville with all three of their rivalry game trophies. They've already got the one against Texas A&M, and you've got to feel good about their chances against Missouri in a couple of weeks. Again, Arkansas and LSU, 6:30 kickoff Saturday night on SEC Network. Go to Whole Hog Sports before, during, and after the game. We'll have plenty of coverage. Clay will be in Baton Rouge. Also on Saturday, we'll have a lot of coverage from the Razorbacks' home basketball game against Gardner Webb. And if you haven't found it yet, be sure to check out this week's basketball podcast of Mid-America that recaps the Razorbacks' season opening win over Mercer. For Scotty Bordelon and Clay Henry, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you again next week.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.